Our next presentation is about nutrient requirement of Camelina crants as a bioenergy feedstock.
Good morning, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Yusuf, and I'm from Montana State University. I will be talking about the nutrient requirement of Camelina sativa as a bioenergy feedstock. Some of you may not know what Camelina is, so I would like to explain what kind of crop this is for the crop that we used for this study. So Camelina is an oilseed crop, and it belongs to the family Brassica, and it is a kind of canola crop. So when it comes to the seed, it is very tiny, as you can see on this picture, that is a quarter coins, and the seed is very tiny. If you count 1,000 seed, it probably will be less than 2 grams, so it's very small. When it germinates, it produces a lot of leaves and beautiful yellow flowers, and you can't believe. The first time I saw this plant in the field with that tiny seed, I planted in the ground. When it produced that big leaves and a lot of branches, I couldn't believe it, because I don't know where the energy comes from that tiny seed to produce a lot of big leaves and branches. And it produced a lot of pods and also branches, and in every branch it will produce seed. When it comes to harvesting, it can be swathed and then combined, or it can be directly combined when it really gets matured. But from my experience, especially when there is a thunderstorm around harvesting, the shattering loss from this crop is really intense. So why Camelina? Because it is really a unique crop with very important qualities. When it comes to its use, it can be used as an edible oil. You can extract oil from it, and that oil is really rich in omega-3. We all know the advantage of omega-3. And it can be used in the cosmetic and detergent industries. It can be also used as adjuvant for spraying chemicals like herbicide and insecticide. And it can be used for animal feed because it is rich in crude protein and fiber. When it comes to agronomy, this crop has really very important qualities, especially in the Great Plains, where we don't have alternative oilseed crops, because the only canola that we have is affected by several diseases and insects. So these crops is really tolerant to disease and also tolerant to drought, because we receive a small amount of precipitation in that part of the country. And the good thing about this crop in the Great Plains, we have either heat in summer or relatively very cold weather during spring. So this crop resists, you can't believe, it resists heat and at the same time cold. So it's really very good optional oil seed crop for that part of the country. And another important quality of this crop, it can be used, it can be planted by existing machineries that we used for other crops. Recent interest in this crop comes with interest to produce biofuel for jet fuel, and also to produce animal feed so that they can produce eggs and meat rich in omega-3. As you all know, nutrient availability determines the quality and the produce of several crops, so Camelina is not different from that. So we conducted this experiment to make information available for users so that if they are interested, they can refer the report of these research results. So the objective of this experiment is to determine the effect of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur application on seed yield, oil concentration, and oil yield of Camelina. So the product can be used for jet fuel as a bioenergy feedstock. The experimental design was RCBD with four applications. Treatment includes four levels of nitrogen, two levels of phosphorus, two levels of potassium, and three levels of sulfur, as seen in this slide. All of these fertilizers were applied 3 weeks after germination, and the variety Sunisan was seeded at a seed rate of 7 kg per hectare, and the experiment was carried out in 2014 at three environments, where environment is a combination of site and years. We direct harvest with plot combine, and the oil content of the seed was determined by NIR. When it comes to the result, we have some selective soil property as a background soil. We took background soil sample from the different sites. As you can see, in these tables, the pH is slightly higher than neutral, and the organic matter in the nitrogen is really high in this part of the country. And one thing that we found is usually in the top soil we have higher nitrogen and higher organic matter, and that relates to higher mineral nitrogen that are available, mineral nitrogen. But in this case, the available mineral nitrogen was higher in the lower depths of the soil compared to the top soil, and this might need further investigation. When it comes to precipitation, as I said, we have two sites, and one of the sites receives, Moccasin receives relatively higher precipitation compared to the second site. When it comes to year, 2030 receives relatively lower precipitation compared to 2014. These tables show you the ANOVA result for seed yield, oil concentration, and oil yield as affected by treatment, environment, and the interaction between treatment and environment. As you can see, the effect of treatment application was significant on seed yield and oil yield. The environment, the interaction of year, the combination of year and the site was significant on seed yield and oil concentration only. The effect of treatment by environment interaction was not significantly affecting the seed yield, oil concentration, oil yield. Year was significantly affecting the oil concentration as well as the seed yield. So in the next few slides, we'll see which treatment affected those parameters. So this is the combined treatments from ANOVA analysis result. So as you can see, the yellow highlighted row in the table, 45 kilogram of nitrogen and 22 kilogram of phosphorus, 22 kilogram of potassium, and 28 kilogram of sulfur application produced the highest yield, seed yield, and also the highest oil yield for both environments and both years. But the oil concentration was not affected by treatment application. When it comes to environment, we have three environments, the combination of site and years in this case. So at Moccasin in 2030, the seed yield was very high compared to 2014 Moccasin and Pedro in 2014. And what happened in 2030 compared to 2040 is that 2030 in Moccasin received relatively low precipitation compared to 2040. It means that in this dryland farming area, if these crops is performing good in dry season, then it means that this crop can be used as an optional rotational oilseed crop, and it can be incorporated in the current or the existing cropping system, because its performance in dry season is really good from this result. When it comes to oil concentration, the Moccasin 2040 and Pendroy 40 has higher oil concentration compared to Mokadi in 2013. This is usually normal because of dilution effect. When you produce more seed, then you'll have less oil content. The same thing, like if we have more wheat, grain yield, then the protein content will be very low because of dilution effect. When it comes to seed yield, Mokasin in 2013 produced higher oil yield. Mokasin 2030 produced higher seed yield compared to the other environment. In this graph, it shows you the environment in the x-axis and the oil percentage in the y-axis, and Pendroy and Mokasin 2040 produce the higher concentration of oil in the Camelina. When it comes to oil yield, both sites or environments produce the same yield because of the difference in oil concentration and the seed yield for the different environments. This graph shows the effect of years in seed yield, oil yield, and oil percent. On the x-axis, we have years, and on the first y-axis, we have kilogram per hectare seed yield and oil yield, and on the second y-axis, we have oil percent. So the blue graph shows oil yield. So the oil yield, the seed yield was very high in 2030 compared to 2040, but because the oil concentration was less in 2030 compared to 2040, the oil yield was the same for both years. When it comes to nitrogen application, there is a kind of trend, linear fashion of increasing seed yield for nitrogen application rate, and the same thing for potassium and phosphorus application. We expect a little increase of sulfur application on seed yield, but it shows that maximum yield was attained at 11 kilogram per hectare application of sulfur. There is no effect of nutrient application on oil percent. When it comes to oil yield, it's really quite related to the seed yield, so all treatment application increased the oil yield for this camelina. In summary, seed yield was higher in dry season compared to wet season. The highest seed yield was attained at 45 kilogram of nitrogen application and 22 phosphorus, 22 K, and 22 kilogram of sulfur application. And the next step will try to find out the oil profile because of the different treatment application, and we'll include the economic analysis result for this study, and we'll try to publish the result and make available for the user. Thank you for attending, and if there is any question.
We have only one question.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a question. I look at your sources, nutrient sources, mm-hmm. You have very high potassium.
Yeah.
Very high phosphorus.
Yeah.
And I see you still have a response.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I think maybe the experimental design is creating some compounding effect. What you may be seeing is just the nitrogen response. Because if you have had it in terms of maybe a split plot analysis to look at the effects of the various nitrogen phosphorus and potassium, I don't think the high levels of potassium you see any response. I don't know.
Well, this is from the field result. I think we can consider that point into account for further analysis of the data. But
it's already done.
You can fix it that one. But we can do the analysis in different way, like orthogonal contrast with optimum nitrogen. Is there effect of potassium? With optimum nitrogen, is there effect of sulfur? So we can do that orthogonal contrast analysis because.
About that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.